But I want you to really listen to that thread in what Gordon says of how God has worked with these people. He's pleased with them because of the faithfulness that they've given him over the years. So, Lord God, I just pray that you will bless Gordon this morning. I pray that your words will come out of him. I pray that it will be your voice that we hear, that golden thread of your input into the lives of these people. That's what we're going to hear about this morning, Lord, is how you have worked. As all we can do is bring ourselves and be faithful to you, and what you will do with that and what you'll turn it into, and how you'll speak into those situations and change them. Thank you, God. I pray that's what we'll hear this morning. I pray that you'll really bless Gordon's words, and it'll be you that we're hearing. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you want that one?
That was a good song to finish with. How great is our God. We sang for the children. Well, it wasn't really for the children, it was for the adults. Many sons had Father Abraham. How many sons did Father Abraham? Forget the song, there were many. How many sons did Father Abraham have? Nobody knew. What about Ishmael? How many sons did Abraham have?
Two.
Isaac and Ishmael. I've read through the Bible from cover to cover twice in my life, and I'm sure we've read it right through more times than we can remember with our daily readings from Scripture Union over the years. But we've had a few years to give it a few tries. But just a couple of weeks ago, we were reading in Genesis chapter 25. Now, Abraham took another wife. Her name was Keturah. And she bore him six sons. Never seen that before. Read through the Bible many times and it suddenly jumped out. Now, just remember that. And then another thing to remember is in education, I wasn't very academic. I chose metalwork and woodwork and chemistry and biology and mechanics and physics. English, grammar, you know, subject and predicate was quite enough for me. Phrases, clauses, verb transitives, intransitives, active voice, passive voice, auditory subjunctives. They didn't really appeal to me. French, well, I passed the exam, but you know, I just wasn't given to learning languages. And it gets very difficult when you come around to Greek. One of the first exercises in Nunn's Greek book is to parse a sentence. He said that man said was false. Now, what are all those that's? I don't know. So, languages were not my thing, so just remember that. Now, God speaks to us in different ways. He speaks to us through people, he speaks to us through songs, and he speaks to us through circumstances and through his word. In missionary meetings in our church, we have usually a meeting once a month to speak on a Wednesday evening, and they would say they need this and they need somebody who could do that and somebody could do the other. And but God, no good. I can't learn a language. I'm no good. I want to. Eventually, we went to Rhodesia. I got a telegram from my brother saying, there's a job here if you wanted on the farm. So I went around to see Elizabeth and said, how would you like to live in Salisbury? She's all right, that's all right. Down the road. No, Salisbury, Rhodesia. we weren't actually in Salisbury, we were 52 miles out on a dirt boat. But we got married then and went out to Rhodesia. And the favourite hymn of ours that we had at our wedding, and which the oldest from Caldwell Free Church, you remember, I've had you sing it twice, because you're going to sing it at our funeral. God holds the key of all unknown, and I'm glad. because we didn't know what the unknown was. So we went out to Rhodesia, and I worked on this farm. Quite an experience. And my first effort at learning the language, my brother used to give me a little note and say, this is what you say to the Africans, what you want them to do. We had a young fellow come in standard six education, which was highly educated in those days. And I said to him right now, Pigalapa, for me, so don't go. Please speak to me as you would speak to your brothers at home. I said, right, I'll get up and pull weeds out. I beg your pardon. Pigalapa, for me, so don't go. Yes, boss. And that was my first bit of language learning. We didn't stay at the farm. I went back into the building industry, and then there was a bit of political unrest and unrest, and people stopped investing in Rhodesia, and the building trade went for a flop, especially the specialist work that I did. So the only other thing I knew was from my national service experience in Britain, and so I joined the Rhodesian Army, well, the Federal Army of Rhodesia and Nelson at that time. But then, years later, we had a missionary meeting at our church in Harare, Salisbury, and at the end of it, somebody sang a song, a solo, "So send I you to labour unrewarded." And we were going to have it sung, but the Wi-Fi didn't get down for us today. But that spoke to us, and that was another call from God speaking. "So send I you." This is what Jesus said. So I put my notice in with the army and said I wanted to leave. So I had to be interviewed by the director of medical services, and he said, "Why do you want to leave?" "Because you didn't get the promotion." Because there were two vacancies in the next group, and the two of us qualified and senior enough to get that promotion. And neither of us got it, because we were with particular regiments, and there was no establishment in those regiments for the next round. And there was nobody else in the medical corps to take my place with the SAS. So I didn't get promoted. He said, no, it wasn't to do that, sir. And eventually I said, well, God told me to get out and serve him full time. Oh. Well, if God told you to get out, I can't stop you. Then I was sent for again. We were in Kariba at the time, and I flew down to Harare Bay to see the general. He wanted to know why I wanted to leave. So I told him. He said, well, he was a Presbyterian, and if God spoke to you, I can't stop you. And then they gave me permission to leave. But by then it was too late to go to Bible college in Britain. That was the 11th of October when I came into the army. So I was unemployed with only a few pounds of army pension money to live on. Elizabeth was teaching in the school, but still. As time went by, we prayed and prayed and said, "Lord, what do you want us to do?" And our children, not our children at the time, but the missionary's children, went to a hostel in Harare, in Salisbury, and went out to various schools. And during the holidays, they had to keep their supply of skim milk from the dairy, which was free. But if they stopped it, they probably wouldn't get started. So they get the church people to come drink skim milk. So we went to collect our milk one morning, and we spoke to the hostel father, and told him about predicament. He said, "Well, then, we could do with you in our mission." I'll tell you what, at that time he was the general director of the mission, and the principal of the school out in the Eastern Highlands are coming up from Chiretti today. "Why don't you come and meet them?" So we said, "Well, tell them this and tell them that, and then they'll give us a ring and we'll come." And then they drove in. And so Charlie said, "Oh, it's Gordon and Mr. Smith. They're interested in serving in the mission, perhaps. She's a teacher and he can do most anything." And these two men looked at each other and thought, oh dear, now this one's not going to work. It turned out, all the way from Chereji, 300 miles, they'd been praying for a teacher for English in the school and somebody to do all the development work on the mission. And here they are presented to them. Well, eventually we got to the mission and in the meantime, they tried to keep me in the army to be a chaplain, and that fell through because you couldn't have a chaplain's assistant doing, the way it was put by a subaltern at the establishment committee was, you can't have a medical student doing a doctor's job, so you can't have a theological student doing a theologian's job. So that was struck, so they didn't change the establishment. So, time went by, and one Sunday evening in church, another verse jumped out from the scripture reading that I'd never seen before. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Faithful is he who has called you, and he will bring it to pass. Okay, well, sort it out. And then we had this interview. Eventually, we went to the mission. We went to one mission station, a fairly barren place. The hillsides were all terraced with rock. My brother used to say they just grow rocks there. But then, a year later, we went across the mountains to another mission. But in the meantime, come here, look, I parachuted into this area when there was arson in the forest fires, in the forest estates. And that was in the dry season. That's in the wet season. And that is where we eventually ended up, on this hill here overlooking that valley. And I went home from that excursion with the army and said to Elizabeth, I'd love to live over there near Mill Settler in the Eastern Highlands. Well, we hear God speaking, God heard me speaking, because that's where we ended up, in those mountains. We went as what they call employed workers. We couldn't be missionaries because we hadn't been to Bible college. So there's no support. But Elizabeth taught in the school. The government paid the teacher's salary, which on missionary allowances was enough to pay two missionaries and a bit left over. So we were employed workers for a couple of years. And then we applied to, people in the mission said, why don't you apply to become missionaries full time? So we did. Oh no, we've got to go to Bible school. So we sold up and came back to England to Bible college. I was going to go to, having been born in Manchester, the obvious place to go to as a Baptist was to go to the Baptist Theological College in the north, in Didsbury, Manchester. Just before applying there, at the Baptist convention, the principal of that college had presented a paper denying the deity of Christ. Oh, we're not going there. Where can we go? Eventually, we finished up at All Nations Missionary College in Hertfordshire. It's a 3-year course. Oh, they said, no, you don't need to do the first year, that's for your chapter, you're a mature student, you can miss out on that. So they set up for a 2-year course. Partway through the year, the mission said, they wanted me. And the problem college and said that, how's Gordon Smith? Can you sort him out and get him through a bit quicker? So I was called in to the principal's office and he said, this is it. And you've got a few spare periods, why don't you put a few more subjects in? So we did 1 year at All Nations Missionary College and became missionaries. We had to be interviewed, of course, by the mission board. And it was very difficult for them because they said, one of the questions was, what do you expect to do? Well, we've been doing it for 2.5 years. And so I said, this is the teach and I'll do the development work. And the Greek lecturer from London Bible College, Mrs. Carey, who's long gone now, said, Praise the Lord for an honest man. He didn't say, oh, we're going to get lots of converts and build churches and plant churches and tell them what we expect them to do. Of course, what do you have to do? Learn the language. Well, I didn't have to do it by the book. Elizabeth didn't have much chance to practice the language because she was the English teacher. When she had to speak to the ladies, she would prepare something and say, how's this? And, well, no, but, oh, but the book says, no, but the people say. I learned my language from the people. One weekend, they used to have what they called a quarterly meeting from Friday lunchtime through to Sunday lunchtime. Friday evening, Bible teaching, Saturday morning, Bible teaching, Saturday evening, Bible teaching, Sunday, baptisms, dedication of infants, Sunday service, communion service. And the leader of the African leader of the church was supposed to be going to this area to do these meetings and had a car crash. So on Wednesday morning, he came to see me and said, will you go and do these meetings? Well, I went and I did all those Bible teachings and the preaching, and one of my African friends said, I made one mistake. And I argued with him. I talked about the shadow of the Almighty. And there's a word for the shadow of people and a word for the shadow of trees and buildings and things. And I'd used the wrong word. And I argued with him and said, well, it's the same thing because we're hiding in the shadow. So he said it that. But I'd done all that with a little. Four pages that time of notes. That was my introduction to language study and use. And eventually I passed the language exam. Then the trouble started. And one Saturday morning, two of us went in to see the district commissioner and said, you know, there's been this massacre of the missionaries, the healing mission, just 130 miles away from us. What do you think? Oh no, 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 you stay there, you're stabilizing the area because you're anti-communist. That was Saturday. Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock, the radio blurts out, what are you doing this morning, Gordon? Well, I'm preaching. No, you're not. We're coming for you in 2 hours' time. You're surrounded by 50 Serbs. So they came for us in two lorries and took some of our furniture. There were five of us, and off we went to the local village, not far away, but 15 miles away. And we went back on the Monday with the security forces again, and got the rest of our furniture, and settled in the village. When there were homestead attacks and people killed, I did the funerals, I did the work field, I did the rescue and medical rescue. Eventually, the government decided to give me a medal. And in the citation, it said that I stabilized the area because I was vociferously anti-communist. Well, independence came, and all those sort of files were in the Prime Minister's office, the President's office. Came and went to the guard's office. Eventually, they found them. I don't know whether that's why we were attacked or not, but eventually it was decided that it would be expedient to leave the country. So we applied to the mission to move, and we thought of Namibia or somewhere in South Africa. And several people said to us, you can cope with the white people and the black people. Why don't you go to the mission to miners in the gold mines? And several people said, and eventually that's where we ended up in the gold mines, in the mission to miners, Christian ministry to miners. Now there, I had to cope with 22 languages. I learned the greetings in all of them. We used to have a mobile bookshop and we were going to the mine compound. And I would see a man coming toward, oh, he's suited. Okay. I'd greet him, Dumela. And he's kicked away and, oh, he's Tosa. So that we start again. Came here and we greet him in Tosa. But we have to cope with these 22 languages. Remember, I wasn't into learning languages. I could cope with Zulu eventually and with Afrikaans. The other languages I just stuck to the greetings. That's difficult. There's a routine greeting, you go through it all, and then in the end they'll say, and how's your grandfather or something? I didn't know that bit. But at the mission station, we used to get our own back on school children and we came through the mission. In the middle of the afternoon, we said, good morning, sir. Well, it's afternoon now. And how are you? I am fine. How are you? I am fine also. Then I'll say, how's your grandmother? So we got our own back sometimes. Then we felt called to go back to Zimbabwe. And we went back, eventually, went round to visit people. So we had children with that, went round and saw people. Why don't you get involved with the rehabilitation centre in Marandera? You can offer them some things. So, long story, eventually we finished up this rehabilitation centre, teaching them to make felt and to dye fabrics and various other things. But things didn't work out too well there, financially, not our finances, but the whole project, one or two people. So, we prayed again. We brought a hat. We prayed again to the Lord, what do you want us to do? Then we got a message from our son-in-law. Please come, or would you like to come and be, I call it the head garden boy, so be the development worker, officer of our new school that they're developing and building. That's a good
issue. Oh,
so, yes, but we prayed, God show us what to do. And he showed us what to do. Go to Midlands Christian School, where we stayed for several years. And then we were attacked in our home. Things were turning nasty. And our son-in-law said, look, we're leaving. We don't want you to stay in Zimbabwe. So we went down to our daughter in South Africa and built a cottage in their grounds. But eventually, set up. For various other reasons. Well, we can go back to England. What do we do? So we sent out a newsletter to all our supporters, said we're going to have to return to England. And by return, it was an email, by return, we got an offer of a flat free for 6 months in Bristol. We stayed there, and then we had no money. We had two suitcases and £5,000. We stayed there and visited Elizabeth's cousin in Worcester. And she said, why don't you come and live around here? And I drove it all around Jubilee Drive, but not through the village. Oh, well, this is great. And we've come from
the mountains that you saw there.
We've come to these mountains. And through a friend of cousins, we applied to a housing service property too. And we were offered a place in Tenbury Wells. So that fell through on then, and we've been offered this place in Colwell. We said, no, well, we've got one in Tenbury Wells. And then that fell through, so we phoned him again and said, the one in Tenbury Wells has fallen through. He said, oh, well, come, do you want this one in Colwell? Yes, please. So they had to bid for it, they bid for it, and we got it. And here we are in Colwell. And we came back to England, leaving all our children behind, and this was so bit annoyed with God, you know, that's you. And she's very honest. So she said, why are you giving me 5 children that have to go away to school, and now we've got to leave them all behind? And he said very clearly to her, I'm not sure how, but he said very clearly, I gave them to you to to serve me. And we're all serving him now. When we had to leave the mission station to come to Bible college, I dreaded the thought of perhaps being called to the London City Mission for the sun and pull the thread out and all that. And Elizabeth was reading one morning when she found a verse, "I will bring you back to this mountain to serve you." Off we go, come back here to the mountains. And we did. So he says, "God holds the key of all unknown." Now, we're going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn, "All the Way My Saviour Leads Me." We have no music, and she acapulco. I know some people do know it. Rob and Sergio know it. The ladies at the back know it. I don't know who else knows it. Let's sing. "All the way